Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Have you noticed how recently we are confronted more and more with man-made and natural disasters? And have you also noticed that the press news articles are talking more and more in biblical terms and terminologies? Let me read to you to give you a few examples from an article which the Associated Press wrote on June 6, talking about the oil spill. It says, waves of tar balls crashed into the white sands of the Florida Panhandle on Friday. Crude continued to spew into the sea in the nation's worst oil spill. The effect of the BP spill was widely seen. Swimmers at Pensacola Beach rushed out of the water after wading into the mess. Brown pelicans coated in chocolate syrup like oil were trying to survive. And it goes on to say, it looked like much the color of drying blood. In Revelations, this article goes on to say, this is the Associated Press writing, it says the water will turn to blood. That's what it looks like out here, like the Gulf is bleeding, said Mr. Hain, director of Coastal Zone Management. This is going to choke the life out of everything. But you see, the Associated Press is not the only paper which created this kind of a relationship. Here is one by The Examiner, another non-religious paper, which says on June 13, and I quote, a number of websites and news organizations have begun to relate the Gulf oil spill with predictions of disaster as told in the book of Revelations in the Christian Bible. And then they quote Revelation 8, saying this, the second angel blew his trumpet and something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. The article goes on to say there are similarities in what we are able to see in the Gulf of Mexico now and what was written then. Approximately one-third of Gulf waters are now off limits to fishing, and many images of the oil spill resemble a river of red. Thousands of uncounted sea creatures have died, and the numbers are still rising. Some patches of surface oil have been set on fire, and BP plans to burn more. The Christian Bible states that the tribulations in Revelation are judgments for evils in humanity, greed, hatred, bigotry, discrimination against the poor, among other social and ethical ills, are all spoken against in the Bible. Yet all are found in today's political and social environment. Believers in the Christian Bible have a foundation on which to base their apocalyptic theories as it relates to the Gulf oil spill, along with other foretold events taking place in our world today, like earthquakes in various places, violence, upheaval, starvation, other natural disasters. All are referred as signs of the apocalypse in the books of Revelation and Daniel. The article still is not done yet. It goes on to say there are global problems that tie our world together as never before, for better and for worse, and there are few simultaneous threats that compare to the financial, social, and environmental issues we are facing today. We are living in a time when history cannot repeat itself, because we have never experienced anything like this before. Keep this statement in mind. We have never experienced anything like this before, because we'll come back to that in a moment. But you see, there are further threats which we are being informed about. Here's an article by NASA Science, stating on June 4, Earth and space are about to come into contact in a way that's new to human history. Richard Fisher of NASA, explains what it's all about. The sun is waking up from a deep slumber, and in the next few years we expect to see much higher levels of solar activity. A century-class solar storm, the Academy warned, could cause 20 times more economic damage than Hurricane Katrina. The Daily Telegraph, dated June 14, goes a lot more into the details of what we are talking about. It says, Britain could face widespread power blockouts and be left without critical communication signals for long periods of time after the Earth is hit by a once-in-a-generation space storm, NASA has warned. National power grids could overheat and air travel severely disrupted, while electronic items, navigation devices, and major satellites could stop working after the sun reaches its maximum power in a few years. Senior space agency scientists believe the Earth will be hit with unprecedented levels of magnetic energy from solar flares after the sun wakes from a deep slumber sometime around 2013, the Daily Telegraph can disclose. In a new warning, NASA said the superstorm would hit like a bolt of lightning and could cause catastrophic consequences for the world's health, emergency services, and national security unless precautions are taken. It goes on to say that the storm could leave a multi-billion pound damage bill and potentially devastating problems for governments. We know this coming, but we don't know how bad it's going to be, Dr. Richard Fisher said. And if that news isn't bad enough news, here's another article from The Independent, another newspaper, stating on June 14, what kind of catastrophe would it take to end the world? Astronomical intruders provide a potentially serious threat. Every century or so, a 10-meter meteor slams into the Earth with the force of a small nuclear device. Tunguska was the site of the last in 1908, and it was pure luck that the meteor landed in the uninhabited wilderness of Siberia. And then they are talking about unusually thick parts of the debris trail of comets, which could bring about a deadly firestorm. They're talking about devastation of an area the size of England. They're talking about global tidal waves if the impact is in the ocean. They're talking about enough dust flung into the atmosphere to dim the sun and kill off vegetation. And then they say there is the big one. I quote, a rock the size of a small asteroid slams into the Earth, causing global earthquakes, kilometer-high tidal waves, and immediately killing all large land animals. Creatures in the sea will soon follow. There is good evidence that this happened 65 million years ago when the giant lizards, those dinosaurs, were extinguished. It goes on to say the next one could happen at any time. Now, many have warned that we are living in the times of the end, or the end times. Jesus Christ told us that he would return, but that he would return at a time when there would be so widespread catastrophes and devastation that unless he were to return, no one, no human being would be saved alive. Have we reached that time? Let me read to you from the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's just listen to some of the warnings Jesus Christ has pointed out. He said in here, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, there will be pestilences, there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be great tribulation, he said in verse 21, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days wouldn't be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. And then he goes on to say what else would happen. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And if you're still not convinced, let me read to you from the parallel account in the book of Luke in chapter 21, what he has to say here. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be a fearful sight and great signs from heaven. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, this perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, man's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. My friends, Jesus Christ has promised us that he would return. And if we believe that Jesus Christ will return in the power and the glory of God the Father and his own glory and the glory of the holy angels, and when we also believe that he will come at a time of great devastation, of great tribulation, so bad, which has never happened before, which will never happen again, and we look at the signs around us, can we continue to deny that we are getting closer and closer to this event of Christ's return? But my friend, let me ask you this question. If we can see that we are getting closer and closer to this event, how much are we prepared to meet our Maker? Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.